Been a real joy for us to worship you and to express in song and in prayer how deeply we love you and just how much we care about you. And that may sound strange for us to say, because normally we hear about how much you care about us. But we want you to know that from the words of our mouth rises up out of our heart the expression that we care about you. We care deeply for you. Personally, we care. We care about your work. We care about your reputation, even. We care about your kingdom, and we care about your people. We care about those that are estranged from your family. And we just rejoice, Lord, to have these means, services like this, means by which we might express our affection and our abiding love for you and our appreciation for you. We thank you tonight, our Father, once again for the Word of God. For it is truly the power, the ability of God unto salvation for those who will believe it. For the righteous or the just live by their faith. But how shall they believe if they have not heard? And how will they hear unless somebody preach to them? And so, Lord, for times like this, when we may have access to the Word of God, where we may be instructed and where we may be taught, how deeply grateful we are. And how careful we are, Lord, not to take for granted the blessings that you have bestowed upon us and the richness and the fullness of your word and your taught word. We thank you so, so very much. And we have confidence that this night that you will perfect what concerneth us in the area of fasting. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to share this evening. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been fasting now for 7 weeks, so to speak, as we've been studying fasting. Are you ready to break your fast? Tonight, our subject is breaking the fast, and we'll wrap up some loose ends as well. You may, as we use the phraseology, break fast, be reminded of a meal that most folks eat once a day, which is called
breakfast.
More technically, it's called breakfast. Do you know why that first meal is called breakfast? Because we fasted overnight and had the last meal before we went to sleep. And I feel kind of foolish, but I was, I guess, 35 years old or so before I ever figured that out, that that's what that meal was all about, that it wasn't breakfast. But I am like a bulldog. Once I get a hold of it, I won't let go of it. Now, tonight we want to talk about breaking your fast, and we're going to be discussing breaking longer-term fasts. If you're going to fast a meal or two or a couple of meals, you're going to fast a day or 2 days, you're going to fast from sunrise to sundown. Tomorrow, if you decide on the National Day of Prayer that you're not going to eat anything, some of you will be up before the rise of sun in order to get some in there so to carry you through the day. Others will be watching the sun as it goes down, and as soon as it goes down, you will turn into the cookie monster or whatever, you know, in your kitchen. And but that's all right. If you're just beginning to fast and beginning to walk in that, don't you be concerned about that. Make it for whatever you've committed yourself to. And if that should occur tomorrow, that you would fast from sunrise to sundown tomorrow, and you want to know, well, how should I break my fast tomorrow evening? You can break it any way you want to. I mean, you can go pig out on pizza if you want to. It's not going to bother you. If you fast a day or two, you could break it with almost anything, and it will not make any difference for you. But if you fast longer than that, if you fast several days or on into a week or beyond, then there are some special precautions that you'd want to take physically and some spiritual ones as well that we want to talk to you about tonight. First of all, when would you break your fast? We've talked about this some, but let me just review. God will give you the direction as to when you're to end your fast. While you're fasting, stay real close to Him, for He's the one that has the information, and He knows how long you're supposed to be fasting. Sometimes you know before you start. Sometimes you will not know before you start, but you will know during the fast. The Lord will direct you. He'll show you something in the Scripture. He'll speak to you by His Spirit. He'll give you confirmation in several different ways. You say, how will He tell me? There are as big as God is, there are that many different ways that He can express that to you. You may hear a number, and you're not even thinking along those lines, and the number has no relationship to anything spiritual or anything that you're presently involved in, but when you hear that number, it will be a living word for you, and you just know. You'll hear on the news that President Reagan is scheduled to meet with the Premier of Ethiopia on the 23rd of this month. And the Spirit of God will just quicken to you the 23rd. And you'll just know that there's something important about the 23rd, and you begin to suspect that that's the message that the Lord's giving you. And you say, well, why wouldn't He just talk to me about it? I don't know. He just got lots of different ways. And He could talk to you, but you know, the one thing, I guess maybe I do know why He doesn't do that, and it's because He won't let you put Him in a box. He just will not operate. He won't operate with everybody the same way, and He won't operate with you the same way every time. And you must, the one thing that I have learned in walking with the Lord is that that's what it is. It's a walk with Him. I figured that when I first met the Lord and got filled with the Spirit and read through the Bible one time and got some basic principles in line, I figured, oh, great, this is like going to college and learning how to be a whatever it is, and then after you complete your course of instruction, you're it, and that's the end of it. I found out that was really dumb. That's not the way it works, because when you meet Him, you meet Him as Lord and Savior, and you take God as your Heavenly Father, by faith in Jesus Christ, and you do go through what I would call healing 101 and deliverance 101 and power 101 and humility 101 and fasting 101 and then 102 and 3 and so on, just like a set of college courses, and I can look at my own life and see that experience for the first few years that I was saved. I can recognize, I look right at it, it's just like I went to the school of the Holy Ghost, and it was intense. Nothing else really was significant. You know how it is when you go to college and carry a full load. You're loaded, and that's about all you have time for or attention for. But after that, it's a continual process of growing and learning, and that's one thing that excites me so about knowing the Lord. For before I knew the Lord, I used to get into various and sundry things to get off all my extra energy and to hobbies and all that kind of thing. But I'd get into it, I'd master it, and I'd get bored with it. And I'd pick up something else. And I'd get into that, and I'd master it, and I'd get bored with that. And then I'd pick up something else and get into that and master it, and I'd get bored with that. But when I picked up Jesus, I never mastered it. So I'm not bored yet. I don't ever expect to be bored. And I believe that throughout all eternity, I will continue to grow in the Lord. Not just in this life, but also in the life which is to come. And that may not mean anything to you, but to me, it's a great sense of satisfaction that I found that which I have been looking for such a long time. And I still get into other things, but not with the same, they don't have the same importance. I mean, they're not substitutes for the Lord, so to speak. So the Lord will tell you how. When during your fast, He'll speak to you. He'll give you confirmations along the way, and you will know. There are some times when your fast will break because of circumstances. You've been fasting, and you'd like to continue to fast, but you can't because of the nature of the work you do. You have to go back to work. We talked about situations where you may have a house full of company, that sort of thing, and you would feel compelled to come off your fast. There is one thing, however, that we have not discussed, and I want to spend a little time on it with a passage of Scripture tonight from 1 Kings chapter 13. I want to give you a caution. Don't break off your fast prematurely. If God has given you instruction about the length of your fast, don't you break it off ahead of time. If there's any doubt whether you're supposed to break fast or not, don't break it. If you have heard the analogy I used a few moments ago, that the president is going to meet with somebody on the 23rd of this month, and that strikes you and you think that's perhaps it, but you're not uncertain with it, you're uncertain about it, then the Lord hasn't really spoken to you, or you would be certain. See, when God deals with you, you have a certainty. When God speaks to you, the doubt's all gone. He's the great doubt breaker. If you still have doubts, and if you're still not clear, then you're not, in my judgment, you're not to the point where you have heard from the Lord sufficiently to act upon it. Now, most times, if you break the fast prematurely, it's not going to do to you as it did to this poor guy that we're going to show you here in 1 Kings 13. But there can be some spiritual dangers involved here when God has spoken to you clearly and then you break what He's told you to do. I'm well satisfied that if the Lord wants to speak to you, He can speak to you in a way that you can understand. You say, well, how will He talk to me, Pastor? I don't know. I can tell you how He talks to me, but it would take me a while because He talks to me in lots of different ways. And what I've determined in my life is that if the Lord is trying to get something over to me and I really want to hear from Him and I'm not resisting Him, then it's not hard for Him to speak to me in a language in a way that I can understand. And if I'm uncertain about it, I won't move. I won't do it. I've got this arrangement with God. This is my own personal deal with the Lord. And it goes simply like this. I'll do anything You want, Father, anytime, to anybody, with anybody. It doesn't make any difference. But I make You this one condition, and that is You have got to make sure that I know that it's You. For if the Lord, one night I preached you a message out of the book of Isaiah and Ezekiel and some others, and I took you into the book of Isaiah. Do you remember the day that God told Isaiah to bare his buttocks and go down through the streets and prophesy? Well, for sure. I'm not going to walk the streets of Douglasville with bare buttocks unless I know I've heard from God. But I can tell you this. If I heard from Him and I knew it was Him, cover your eyes. I mean it. I mean, you know, we laugh at that, but I mean it. I mean, that's the arrangement we've got. Ezekiel had, I believe it was Ezekiel, wasn't it, who God said, you're to take some cow's dung and cook it and eat it in front of all the people. And the purpose for that was to express to the people in a dramatic way, this is what's going to happen to your city, and you're going to be doing this if you don't tighten up. And Ezekiel talked it over with God, and he said, couldn't I just cook it maybe? Couldn't I cook some real food, use the cow's dung maybe as fuel? Because that's unclean. I've never eaten anything unclean. And the Lord worked it out where He was able to do that. See? So, I mean, there's some real strange things in this book. And the arrangement I have is, Lord, I'll do anything, anytime, but You must be sure that there's no doubt there and that I know that I know that I know that it's You. And if I know it's You, then look out, Katie, because here we go. And it's proven to be a good way to operate. Now, in the first book of the Kings, in the 13th chapter, there was a wicked king in the northern kingdom of Israel. His name was Jeroboam. God did not have a prophet in Israel. They were all perverted and corrupted. And He wanted to get a message to Jeroboam that Jeroboam was in trouble, and so was his kingdom. Remembering that Jeroboam had been given by God the 10 northern tribes as his kingdom, but he had set up his own idols. You remember, he set up calves in Dan and Benjamin, I believe. And he was offering, he set up his own priests and making his own offerings and all that sort of thing. And so God spoke to a prophet down in Judah, verse 1, behold, there came a man of God. Now notice this, a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Now, the balance of the story goes that he prophesied to the altar and he prophesied to Jeroboam. And he said, on this altar is going to burn all the bones of the priests who have been sacrificing these polluted offerings on it. And then he said, in order for you to understand that the word I'm speaking is the word of God, the altar is going to crack in two and the ashes are going to flow out of it. And while he stood there talking, that's exactly what happened. The altar cracked in two, the stones broke, and out the ashes began to flow. And Jeroboam was so incensed at what this prophet had said, coming from another country all the way up there and then intimidating him and criticizing the religion that he had established, Jeroboam reached his hand forth like this and said, lay hands on that man and get him. And as he did, the Spirit of the Lord just fell upon him and his arm just shriveled all up. And he's had a little shriveled arm. And he cried out to the prophet and said to the prophet, pray for me, you know, that this would leave. And the prophet did. And as they were standing there, his arms went back, you know, to normal. So at the end of that, verse 7 is where I want to take you to. And watch this. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, nor will I eat bread, nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. Now, what did God tell this man to do? Told him to fast. He said, I want you to go up there to Bethel, and I want you to prophesy to Jeroboam and his altars, and as you're going, and while you're there, and until you come home, you're to fast. A total fast. No food, no water. You're not to eat anything until you get home. So he went by another way, and he returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now, when is this fast supposed to end? When he gets home. You see, he's got that clearly from the Lord. He spoke it to Jeroboam, for the Lord charged me by his word. He understood. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. And the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said then unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, oh, it's interesting that the temptation here is come home and eat. He said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. Here it is again. The second time he confirmed, I know when this fast is supposed to be ended. God already spoke to me. It's when I get home. He said unto him, that's the old prophet said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. What's the temptation? Eat and drink. The temptation is not to come back and have a talk and find out what's going on and what's God doing in your life. The temptation is come back and eat. The temptation is break the fast prematurely. But he lied unto him. The old prophet lied. Angel didn't speak to him at all. So he, that is the prophet from Judah, went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. The prophet that lied begins to prophesy now truth. And he cried unto the man of God, this is why you got to know God's voice for yourself. Because you can get truth and lies out of the same mouth. And he cried unto the Lord of the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. Now, at casual reading, it wouldn't really, might not register on your awareness why that is significant, that it says that his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion stood by it. What does that say? Well, he didn't eat the man either. Mm-mm. He didn't eat either one of them. Which says what?
It was a matter of judgment instead of a matter of hunger.
That's right. The lion did not kill this man because he was hungry. The lion killed the man because it was an instrument of judgment here. And later on, when he's found, if you read the balance of the story, you find the old man went out and found where he was laying, and it says once again that the ass was there and that the lion was there. Verse 28 says, and he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. So here's a case now. What did this man do that caused him his life? He disobeyed the word of the Lord. And where did he disobey the word of the Lord? He broke his fast prematurely, you see. The Lord said, you don't eat anything as long as you're down there. You don't drink any water. When you come home, that's when you break your fast. And he disobeyed that when he knew. See, it's not, I wasn't sure and I broke the fast. He knew. He said twice, God spoke to me. So it can be I wouldn't expect anybody to meet this kind of a situation under the covenant that we have with the Lord today. But you can see that it is not a light matter to take the word of the Lord casually, even in an area such as this. I think sometimes because we're so accustomed to the grace of God that we really do not have the kind of holy respect and reverence for the Word of God. Every once in a while, I'll meet someone who just, well, they get the Word of God. You're not going to move them. It doesn't matter what. They've got the Word of God. There's a holy respect and reverence for the Word of God, and they just will not break it. But we've gotten, I think Christians today, because of our covenant, have gotten right casual about these things. Jerry?
What if you just decide to say, just say I'm going to fast 7 days. Lord, don't speak to you. You just decide you're going to fast and you decide to
you just, yeah. Same way you decide to pray. I'm going to pray 15 minutes and then you quit.
If that's not disobedient, just
You can't be disobedient unless the Lord has given you His Word. And we already saw in the Scripture that you can fast a meal, you can fast 12 hours, you can fast, the day, you can fast a whole day, you can fast several days, you can fast a couple of weeks. You know, we have all different lengths of time in there.
Well, I started a fast. I thought I was going to fast a certain amount of time, and then I quit before that certain amount of time, and I just felt terrible in my body. You know, I didn't feel good in my spirit or my body, but the Lord didn't tell me to fast, it just I felt terrible.
Well, you'll feel terrible because you betrayed yourself. Sure. You betrayed your own spirit. You made a deal with yourself and then fell down on it and you would feel betrayed. And that's quite common. Yeah. But if you decide you're going to fast, say you decide you're going to fast tomorrow and you're going to fast the day. The Lord may at the end of the day, when you're ready to eat, the Lord may say, don't eat. You don't just go on with that fast. He may not speak to you at all about it. But you've made your own decision in that area. Nothing wrong with that. Okay? All right. So you'll break the fast when the Lord shows you to break it. Now, how will you break it? Let's go over to 1 Samuel, I'm sorry, chapter 30. Specifically now, how to break a long fast. You've been fasting for a couple of weeks, maybe a week. Let's say you've been fasting a week, maybe longer than that. And you're going to break that fast, and you're not sure how your body is going to react. Remember, I told you that when you fast for a long period of time, unless it's real long, you would rather keep fasting than eating. You will find after you have fasted for a week or so that even if you fasted 4 or 5 days, generally in there is where you experience this, where food will become so inconsequential to you that it's a nuisance. You begin to see how much time it takes to fix it, how much time it takes to eat it, how much time it takes to expel the waste, how much time it takes to clean up the dishes and everything, how much time it takes to buy it and organize it and so on. And you will see how much of your life is geared around feeding your face. And you'll see, well, I don't really need it. I'm doing just fine. I've got good energy. I feel great. My spirit is alive. And you won't want to eat. You'll have to start eating by decision. Even when you get up into the where you begin to experience hunger, you still have to eat by decision. And once you make that decision, how will you start eating? You don't want to go down to Pizza Hut and order a Supreme and chunk that down, you know, along with a quart of Coca-Cola. For you're going to be in a lot of trouble if you do. Your body's just not going to respond properly to that. Remember that your digestive organs have been sleeping. for a period of time. And your stomach is small. And you must be very careful about the amount that you eat right away because your stomach won't handle it. Once you start eating, this will fascinate you if you haven't experienced it. You will not want anything to eat. But once you start eating, you will want more and more and more. You could sit there and watch it, and as long as you don't put any in your mouth, it won't tempt you. But once you start, you will have to exercise some self-discipline. And oftentimes, this period of time in breaking the fast is more difficult than fasting. It's tougher on your will, and it's tougher on your flesh than fasting. Do you know that dieting is harder than fasting? You can fast a lot easier than you can diet after you get past a couple of days. Fasting is a piece of cake. Diet, man, is work. Because, you know, you've got to say, no, I'm not going to have any more than that, when you know deep down you want it so bad that you'd sell your left leg and your right one up to the knee for another helping of those whatever it is. But you have to back away from that. You must say no. And when you break the fast, a lot of folks not understanding this will just respond to that flesh, and it's like letting a tiger loose sometimes. Once you let that thing loose and give it anything it wants, then you've lost most of the benefits of your fast. And also, you will be very uncomfortable. You can eat more than your stomach will hold, and you won't know you're in trouble until after you're in trouble, and then you won't be able to relieve it. You'll just be stuffed, and it'll hurt. You'll be uncomfortable. But your appetite will still be calling for more. But your tum-tum, you see, won't handle it. So you do have to be careful. All right? There's one example I see from the scriptures where they broke a fast, and this will give us some insight here. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David has come back to his lair at Ziklag, and the Amalekites had come to Ziklag while he was gone with his men and had destroyed his hiding place there and took his wives and kids and all of his property off. And so David, this is the passage where David encouraged himself in the Lord and then inquired of the Lord and said, should we go and get the Amalekites? And yes, God said, you go and I'll give you everything back. You know, you'll recover everything. Well, on the way, David pursued. And in verse 11, on the way, they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. Now, what had the man been doing? He'd been fasting. Now, it was not a voluntary fast. The man was near dead. And here he is 3 days and three nights, no food, no water. And I told you what would happen if you didn't eat, or especially if you didn't drink anything for 3 days, you'd be right on the edge. Do you notice that it says they made him drink water? You see, he was to the point where he wouldn't have drank it himself. They forced him to drink it. And they gave him what kinds of foods? They gave him a little bread, and then they gave him fruits, figs and raisins, which is interesting. No meat, no boiled mutton, no leg of lamb, no cooked rabbit, whatever they were eating in those days. They gave him whole grain breads, and they gave him fruits. All right, now that's a good place for us to start, to give us a scriptural foundation. And in this order, this is the way you would want to introduce foods back into your diet. You want to start first with fruit or vegetable juices. Again, watch the ones that have too much acid in them. If you buy fresh fruit juices are the best. If you buy them so many of the juices are not really tree ripe when they make the juice, and so they're real tart and you have a lot of acid in them. Those juices, you may even want to dilute them and take them in small doses, maybe half a glass full, and drink it several times, you know, at intervals, and cut it some, dilute it some. But start with fruit or vegetable juices. Then you might add milk or yogurt, fresh salads without dressing. When I fast for any lengthy period of time, when I come off, what I want is fruit and fresh greens without any dressing. That's just, I don't know, it's just what I have a desire for. You say, yuck. And it would be yuck except you haven't had anything for a while, and it's pretty doggone good. So fresh salads without the dressings on them. Then soups are good, especially vegetable soups, and watch the grease. For the grease in your stomach can give you some difficulty. So if you're going to use a meat stock or something, make sure you skim the grease. Then vegetables, cooked vegetables. You ready for those? Breads, wholemeal breads are better than white breads. And introduce protein in your diet with cheese and eggs first, nuts maybe. And leave fish, meat, and that sort of thing for last. The last thing that goes into your diet is your meat. And so when you come off a fast, you may decide that you want a 2-inch prime rib. But if you've been fasting for 2 weeks, don't eat a 2-inch prime rib. Eat a 2-inch deep plate of fruit and vegetables, you know. And maybe in a few days, or it might take you as long as a week. There are those, for me, it doesn't take more than a couple of days, and I can't eat the volume, obviously, but I can be back to eating normal foods fairly quickly. I've never fasted beyond 12 days, and so I don't know what it would be like out at 21 or 28 or 35 days. But just for my own experience, the fasting that I have done, I've just fruits and vegetables afterwards, and then regular diet items, you know, can pick up fairly quickly right there. It will be important for you to eat slowly, though, and to chew your foods real carefully and masticate them. I'm not into counting the number of times that you chew or anything like that, but liquefy your food before you send it down there. And just take it easy on your stomach. You know, it hasn't been working in a while. Just look after it. It'll take from a day or two to a week or so to begin to be able to eat normally, depending on how long you've been fasting and how nervous you are about putting certain things back into your diet. The idea is to do it gradually and small portions. Don't eat great big portions. Stop at the first sign of feeling full. If you've been fasting and you sit down and eat, if you eat rapidly, you know that you can put it in a lot faster than your appetite will be satisfied. And if you eat fast, your appetite is still hungry while your stomach is full. And if you continue to try to satisfy your appetite, you'll overfill yourself. Now, if you will eat slowly, and a way that you can eat slowly, this is something that I do from time to time, if I sense that I'm eating too fast, is just lay the fork down between each bite. It's, you know, you just can't shovel it in if you don't have an instrument. People won't let you eat in their restaurants anymore, you know, if you do. You'll find when you're real hungry, you find you have got one bite in your mouth and you're chewing on it and you're already preparing the next one. Yeah, I mean, watch yourself and watch your families. But if you will eat, put it in there and lay the fork down. Chew it, swallow it, then pick the fork up and take another bite and do the same thing. Then what you'll find will happen to you is that your appetite will begin to get satisfied as your stomach is being filled. And then you won't overfeed yourself. So at the first sign that you're starting to get full, even though you still want another piece of whatever that is, your taste is for more, don't eat any more of that. You can come back later and eat that if you want to. All right? Anybody want to comment on that? About how to break your fast as far as the kinds of foods and how to put them in. Anybody want to share an experience? Barbara? Yes?
She had asked if someone was going to fast, and I just read just a few stories about fasting, and the ones I'd read was the 3 days without food or water. So that's what I first experienced. And I didn't think much about it, and I knew it was of the Lord because I did it fairly easily. But about the third day, in the afternoon of the third day, the Lord spoke to me and he said, and I think this is because he knows our bodies, he knows our hearts and everything about us. He told me, and I was getting pretty weak by then, and he said, go get some tomato juice. I don't even drink tomato juice, but I know it was him speaking to me, and I did that, and I was fine. Uh-huh. I didn't have to eat or anything. Uh-huh. So, you know, I know know the Lord speaks to us.
That's the most important. In any exercise like this, the most important thing is not knowing all the steps, but knowing the voice of the Lord, because He can tell you as you go. Sharing these principles helps us to believe that that really is God when He speaks to us. Mm-hmm. Yes, Saul?
I heard the story of the prayer book after they fasting. They prepare some meal for them before they left. Real water with loose little soup, some rice or some vegetable in it.
Yes, yes, yeah. To make sure that they don't do it wrong. If you haven't had experience there, yes, Vera.
The Lord prepared me for a longer fast by with juices, and I found that very helpful. Before I started fasting for days, I would fast with juices and fruits. Just that's all, and it prepared me so that when I came off the longer fast. It was like I did the same thing that I had done when I was in the partial fast, and I found it much easier.
Mm-hmm. As we think about these things, I'm not sure that there isn't some connection between the Lord's original plan for man was that his food was to be plant life and not animal life. If you read the first chapter of Genesis, you will find that God gave the plant kingdom to man for food. And it was not his original idea to have bloodshed. He shed the first blood in order to make some coverings for Adam and Eve in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. And it's for that reason that's why some folks even yet today are vegetarians and won't eat anything but plant life. But yet we find our Lord eating the Passover lamb, and we find him eating fish, along the seashore at Tiberias. And he did call all foods clean. During his ministry. And so we find that it's appropriate for us to eat meats, but yet it seems interesting that our body, in order to break a fast, responds better to fruits, vegetables, and fruit and vegetable byproducts than it does to the products of meat and that sort of thing, meat and fish and all. Yes, Phyllis?
Very sound because it takes your body 24 hours to digest meat, but just a couple of hours to digest some of the fruit.
Uh-huh.
So it's so much harder work for your body.
I see.
To digest red meat.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Yes, Judy.
Well, I don't know if anybody else is like this, but when I go on a fast, whether I know in the beginning how long it's going to be, like if it's going to be 3 days, or if I don't know it. The minute that I get the word of the Lord or decide on the length of the fast, I'm at the end just like I am at the beginning. I mean, my mind is food.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I start thinking about what I'm mm-hmm. like, and mm-hmm. I just know that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if anybody else has the same problem.
Yes. How many of you experience what Judy experiences, that you have no trouble on the fast until you know what day you're coming off? And the closer you get to the day you're coming off, the more power your appetite has over you. Mm-hmm. And you want to devour a prime rib and everything else that goes with it. That's not uncommon. And that's,
what do you do about that? 'Cause it's just...
Well, that's where you have an exercise in strengthening your spirit, getting that appetite under control. Nobody? Absolutely not. You will eat when I tell you and what I tell you. And listen, man, when we come off this fast, we're not going to Pizza Hut for a Supreme. We're going to have a plain salad with no dressing. And if you're good, maybe a few raisins and a half an apple. I mean, that's the way you have to do it. And you just have to shut that up. Otherwise, when you come off the fast, you're on a binge. And you really haven't profited as far as really getting your flesh under. Now, you get some benefits, but you don't get the long-term benefits, and you have a binge and starve kind of situation, or binge and fast. No good. And a lot of folks have done that, and they get to the end of their rope. They think that fasting all by itself is going to take care of curbing that appetite. But listen, once I forget what book this is in. I believe it's Dennis and Rita Bennett's book, The Holy Spirit and You, where they use the analogy of the spirit, soul, and body compared to a ship, its crew, and the captain. The spirit being the captain, the crew and the ship being the crew being the soul, and the ship being the body. And that this particular ship has been without a captain for a long time. And it has functioned pretty much the way it wanted to. Everybody did what was right in his own eyes. Ate anything it wanted, went anywhere it wanted to. Of course, it went through, you know, didn't have any course, no direction, it just went like this. And all of a sudden, the owner of that ship puts captain on it. And the captain says, all right, ten hot, we're going to do things my way. And the crew initially is kind of excited about that. Whoo, this will be nice, you know. And we'll have leadership and order and organization. And everything will work great. And everybody goes to work. And this is what happens when you get saved. And everything goes to work. Everything functions just great. Until after a period of time, and the crew says, wait a minute. One says to the other, what do we need this Jughead for? We got along all right before he came. As a matter of fact, he does nothing but say no to us. And every time we turn around and want to do what we used to do, and we never crashed up on any reefs, and we've been doing okay. And so they want to rise up and mutiny and take the cabin and take the captain and tie him up and chain him down in the cabin so they can run the ship again. And that's exactly what happens here. That the crew is temporarily, the flesh and the mind, so temporarily under control. But after a period of time, they don't really adjust to that. As long as we are in the flesh, we'll have to exercise leadership and authority in the realm of the spirit.
Well, I guess too that's a great opportunity for the devil to come in. And,
yes.
Because the way I work is if my appetite's out of control, everything else starts coming.
It's
like a snowball.
That's right.
And it's I just want to throw up my hand.
Yes, that's right. That's right. An undisciplined life there will just cause it to occur everywhere else for you too. Yeah, it's a wonderful opportunity to when you're coming off the fast, and this is something that we need to consider, is you must consolidate your gains. And one of the ways you consolidate your gains is you haven't gained anything if you don't change something. And the way you consolidate your gains is by making a permanent change in your eating habits. Now, I find with me, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. While you're turning, let me just share my own personal experience in this area. I find that when I fast, when I come off the fast, I'm so happy, just feel so good I feel clean inside, I feel clean in my body, I feel clean in my mind, I feel clean in my spirit. I'm enjoying the success that I've had over these parts of me that seem to be at enmity against me. It's kind of a euphoria. I've won the championship and the whole town is cheering. It's that kind of thing. And for a period of time, I have real good control. And I can sit down and look at a piece of chocolate cake, I mean right in the face, and it does not make any difference. It does not tempt me. It does not bother me. But after a period of time, the days go by, the weeks go by, the months go by, and all of a sudden, I can't handle the chocolate cake anymore. Or, you know, among other things. That just happens to be one. And I can't say no. I'll sit down and to watch a television program. And I notice that as I watch television, that's when my appetite, there's a connection between the television set and an appetite out of control. If I don't watch the television set, then I have no temptation to eat junk foods, snack foods, late night snacks. But when I sit down and watch the television set for longer than half hour or so, I want some peanuts, not just a handful, I want a can full. I want a root beer soda with a bag of potato chips. I want a tin of chocolate chip cookies, homemade, with a cup of milk to dunk them in. Various and sundry other things like that. You know. But if I don't, and I can tell, I sit down and watch the television, and immediately I'm hungry. Got to have something. And it's either go get something to eat, or get control over that, or turn the television set off. They both appeal to the baser elements of our nature, of that flesh nature. And so a way to get control over the appetite is to watch the, I was going to say watch the television, is to watch the television viewing. You know, take note of that and stay away from that. You'll find your whole family is like that. What's the picture you get of the pot-bellied man in a t-shirt with a can of beer? What is he doing? He's watching television. Yes, Linda? No. No. No, it's your mind. It's your mind. You see, Judy, it's your mind. When you know that Saturday night you're going to be able to eat, you start planning now for what you're going to eat on Saturday night when you can. And you make your whole life begins to revolve around. It's like when I was bound with cigarettes before. Yeah, it really is. And it's something that you just have to get control over your thoughts and pull down those strongholds and those imaginations. I found when I was smoking that I'd been saved just a couple of weeks. I'd been trying to get rid of the cigarettes for some time. And I had been unable to get rid of to just throw the things away. I tried and couldn't. And it was almost 30 days to the day after I had given my life to the Lord. And I was in my office. I was getting ready to go home. And I reached, just as I was getting ready to go, I was thinking about, do I go the back way across the river and up 166, or do I go the front way out I-20? And I got to thinking where the stores were. I checked my cigarettes and see if I had enough cigarettes and whether I needed to go past a store or not. There weren't any stores the back way in those days. And it struck me that you fool, your whole life is ordered around whether you have a lump in your chest pocket. And I took out the one that was left and threw it away. And that was the last, I've never had any more, have never had any desire for any more. But I made a quality decision then that little thing was running my whole life. And you must do the same thing with this food. If it's Wednesday and you know you're going to fast until Saturday, but when the sun goes down on Saturday night, that you're going to pig out, then the way you're going to have to deal with that is, all right, I'm not going to pig out. I'm going to fast till Sunday morning. Or I'm going to have, this is my meal. And you just have to pull that stronghold down in your mind. Otherwise, it'll just, you know, just destroy the efforts that you've made thus far. And it shows you the power of the mind and why the mind is on the side of the flesh. For the minute that you put in the mind, that the end of it, then your mind goes to work on you. And it really is a place where the devil likes to play, in your mind. Yes, sir.